On yesterday, I was in Atlanta for the homegoing of my older brother, Horace Big City Robinson. And he was called Big City because he was a professional boxer. And he got a chance to fight the likes of Larry Holmes and Run Lyles, and he was George Foreman's sparring partner. He also was security guard for Evander Holyfield. And he passed at the young age of 68. And we were in Atlanta yesterday for his homegoing celebration. And I did the eulogy, and I preached in front of a company of Black Baptists and Pentecostals. And they pushed me until I hit the rafters. So we'll just see how you all push me this morning. On this World Communion Sunday, a day when churches all over the world focus on the Eucharist, I want to try to preach from this thought. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Years ago, my wife purchased me a beautiful portfolio from an amazing store called Things Remembered, a popular retailer that specializes in personalized gifts that can be engraved or embroidered to commemorate special occasions. Whether celebrating a wedding, a new job, the arrival of a new baby, a promotion, or any other special occasion, this store has the perfect gift for you. Things Remembered understands that it is a precious joy and it is an honor to recall happy times and significant events in one's life. Memories are precious and remembering is important. Memories keep us connected to people, places, and important events that have deeply shaped us and influenced our lives. At the Last Supper, Jesus shares a meal with his disciples, and he led them in this ancient observance of what is known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread or the Feast of the Passover. Jesus, that master teacher from Galilee, used this as an opportunity to plant an important memory in his disciples who were gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem before he was betrayed on Calvary's cross. So in a real sense, when Jesus raised the bread and the cup in thanksgiving, he was giving new significance to this ancient ritual. Luke 22 records that Jesus told his disciples to observe Passover in remembrance of me. Jesus was taking an old symbol and filling it with new meaning. And so in today's context, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we do so in remembrance of Christ. And no matter how we refer to this ordinance, whether we call it the memorial supper, communion, or the Eucharist, one thing is clear: it is a time to remember. I tell you, in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Me, Savior and liberator of all. Me, the one who ate with sinners and hung out with poor people. Me, the one who is headed to Calvary as a liberative model for the world. Do this in remembrance of me. I tell you, remembering is important. In fact, according to New Testament scholar William Cavanaugh, the commemoration of the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, spoken after the words of the institution, is called anamnesis. It's called anamnesis. And anamnesis is simply a fancy Greek word in the New Testament that sums up and explains the rendering of Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of me. And listen, what I love about the Greek word anamnesis is the fact that it is actually the opposite of the word amnesia, which is an inability to remember. In other words, anamnesis is literally a call to unforget. Come on now, I love that. It is a call to unforget. Now, some scholars think it's an odd term, for they argue, how in the world can we forget about God? Apparently, these scholars had never set foot in the United States. But really, the word anamnesis is what it's really trying to impress upon us is the fact that we are constantly tempted to forget about the victims of the world with whom the Bible says that God intimately identifies. For whenever we forget about the poor, for whenever we forget about the suffering, the hurting, and those who are locked out and left behind, we also forget about God. Because remember, in Matthew 25, Jesus says, whatever you do unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you also do unto me. And notice, in Matthew 25, Jesus is not merely identifying with the good people who help the hungry, the good people who help those who are poor and imprisoned and naked. But what's truly remarkable about Matthew 25 is the fact that Jesus himself identifies as the hungry and as the poor and as the imprisoned person. Don't miss that. Jesus identifies as those who are written off. In other words, if the Eucharist is participation in the sacrifice of Christ, and if we become the body of Christ, then we are also called not just to minister to the victims of this world, but guess what? To identify with them. In this way, the dichotomy of the categories of them and us, poor and rich, victim and helper, are subverted and overcome. Oppression of the poor becomes unthinkable because guess what? We are the poor. So the forgetting that anamnesis seeks to undo is the forgetting that takes place whenever oppression is justified, whenever poverty is excused, and whenever injustice is overlooked. For the death of Christ on the cross proves once and for all that all such justifications are false and ungodly. I believe that's what Paul was trying to get across when he said, God chose the things that are of the weak to shame the strong when he used the cross. John Baptist Metz, in writing about the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, he calls it a dangerous memory that disrupts the forgetfulness of the world and what he calls the forgetfulness of the forgotten. So this dangerous memory of Christ's crucifixion at the hands of the imperial powers, it actually disrupts business as usual in our lives, in our daily affairs, in our commerce, and in our politics. Listen, that's what communion is really all about. The Eucharist is a counter-imagination to the way things are in the world. Listen, I like that so much, I'll say it again. I say the Eucharist is a counter-imagination to the way things are in the world. The dangerous memory of anamnesis gives us hope that the way things are in the world are not the way they have to be. For us to take part of the anamnesis means for us to live inside of God's imagination, in which, as Jesus tells us, no sparrow is forgotten, and even the hairs on our heads are numbered. Can I tell you again, the Eucharist is not just about seeing the world in a certain way, but it is about acting to change it. That's because social imagination is not merely a mental function, but it is about the act of constructing a social body, the body of Christ, that acts to resist the deformed imagination of the state, which represents exploitation, white supremacy, and capitalistic excess. In the early church, the term anamnesis was not merely a recalling to one's mind, but it was a remembering of Christ's body. That is, an action that knit together the members of the body of Christ for progressive action, radical love, and radical hospitality. That's why in the early church, they were called people of the way, because Christianity was about action and radical love. Listen, somebody said, when we come to Christ, we join a revolution already in progress. Social ethicist Margaret Scott, who writes about the communal nature of the Eucharist, she argues that the Eucharist needs a living context. She argues that communion is not simply a disembodied ritual or a religious act that is disconnected from reality. It's about real people. It's about real lives. It's about real suffering. It's about seeing the world through Eucharistic eyes and trying to make a difference wherever you are. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he was communicating something much deeper than simply partaking in the communion wine and the bread. He was giving us a vision for transforming the world through love, through sacrifice, through intentional community, and through justice. This two-word phrase, "do this," in Luke's gospel is an action phrase that demands more than a passive observance of the Eucharist. Let me say it again. It is a call to action. It is a call to act on behalf of the city of God. I love the way Margaret Scott puts it. She says, the Eucharist is a prophetic act to be continued in the life of those who celebrate it by being Eucharist and by being the body of Christ. And that is what the Eucharist does. It commissions us to be the body of Christ. In other words, the Eucharist gives us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. When we come together as an assembly, united in celebration as one family, worshiping and working together with our hearts turned toward God in praise and thanksgiving, we are engaged in something bigger and more magnificent and more remarkable than ourselves. And you can see it in the very symbols that are used. Remember, the bread and the cup are symbols of the basic necessities of life. And in the Eucharist, they are energized and brought alive by God's call to justice. John Dominic Cresson puts it this way. He said, food and drink are the material basis of life. So in the Lord's Supper, it is political criticism and economic challenge, as well as a sacred rite and liturgical worship. I love that. In other words, the Eucharist is ultimately about bodies. When Jesus said, "This is my body," it pointed to the fact that he put his body on the line. Don't miss that. In the crucifixion, Jesus sacrificed his body for the salvation of our bodies. Jesus was saying, "This is me. This is who I am. This is how far I'm willing to go." For Jesus, the Lord's Supper pointed to the cross, the epitome of self-offering, the complete giving of his body. And because it is also about the resurrection of the body, it speaks of God's liberating action in overcoming the death brought on about by oppression and domination. Consider the fact that in the first century, the death of Christ occurred during a time of violent empire, greed, and oppression. He was crucified by the state because of his radical love for sinners, his hatred for injustice, and his service to mankind. The Lord's Supper then calls on us to remember all of that. It also calls on us as a way to remind us that in our own time, we celebrate the Eucharist under similar circumstances. We live in a world marred by violence, marred by death, oppression, and injustice, a world of global capitalism, militarism, imperialism, and income inequality that callously overlooks compounding human misery and suffering. The Eucharist calls on us to become God's justice in the world. But in order to really live into the true meaning of the Eucharist, it must regain its radical edge, and it must be rescued from the respectability of the contemporary church. Otherwise, if it fails to do that, it loses its prophetic voice and ceases to be an effective instrument of God in transforming the world. I believe this is why Paul issued the challenging warning in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29, that if we're not careful, that we could eat and drink at the Lord's table to our own condemnation and damnation. And I believe that Paul meant that the way we do this is by eating at the table without making sure that the world is arranged in a way that assures that the poor is fed, that the brokenhearted are mended, and that the desperate are cared for. All I'm trying to say is that our participation in the Eucharist ought to challenge us long enough to slow down enough to examine ourselves and to see how our own lives and the very institutions that we are a part of, including the church, are complicit with injustice. Margaret Scott is right when she says this: when the Eucharist ceases to relate to human liberation, it ceases to be connected with Christ's sacrifice. It does not then build human community. It does not therefore help constitute the kingdom of God on earth. It does not even honor God objectively. It becomes a ritual without life, like the type of sacrifices that were condemned in the Hebrew Bible. So let me leave you with this. When Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he was not just talking about participating in the act itself, but in living out the true meaning and the radical meaning behind the act. So let us be challenged this morning. Do this, love everybody. Do this, fight for the poor. Do this, overturn bad legislation. Do this, stand up for what's right. Do this, welcome the stranger, relieve suffering, undo heavy burdens, feed the poor, clothe the naked, rescue the homeless, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, and fight for injustice. Do this, make black lives matter. Do this, make gay lives matter. Do this, make poor lives matter. Do this, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. And it is only when we do that can we say that we are truly doing this in remembrance of Christ. Indeed, do this in remembrance of me. Amen.